Well, if I could get your attention back at the front here. We're going to move to a teaching time. I remember one of my best friends in elementary school, his name was Jamie. His parents used to own a hotel. It was the Grove Motor Inn in Spruce Grove. And the hotel had this court, and in the center of the court had a swimming pool. And I used to go to his place after school, and we'd go play in the swimming pool. And since Mom and Dad owned the hotel, there were no rules. So we caused a lot of trouble in that swimming pool. By God's grace, nobody drowned with all the shenanigans we did. And I remember meeting Jamie in school. He was kind of a heavyset kid, and in the 80s, that wasn't common. And the kids at school teased him. They would make fun of him because he was a little bit overweight. And one day I ended up stepping in the gap for whatever reason God wired me that way. And that started a friendship, one that was very real, very authentic. He lived in a broken family, and he would come over for dinner, and my parents would pray with him. And we pray, because he moved away in grade 6, we pray that it changed the future course of his life to be in contact with us. Because yeah, I got to be a friend in grade 1, grade 2, grade 4. But I pray that the place that God put me and the places that God puts you affect the future in such a good way that others see the blessing of God. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you're feeling like evangelism is a lost cause, right? But perhaps for you, it's not even so much about trying things that didn't work. It's confusion around whether or not evangelism is okay in Canada. I want to share with you my conviction that evangelism is not a lost cause. It is a cause for the lost to meet Jesus. And over the month of June, we've been trying to revive evangelism in and through us. And in my research for this, in finding more about how the church in general in North America feels about evangelism, I was reading a couple of studies, and one by the Barna Group said 79%, I know there's statistics, but 79% of unchurched people, people who don't come to places like this on Sunday morning, they agree to the following statement: I don't mind talking to a friend about their faith if they really value it. Did you catch that? Within a friendship, the vast majority, 8 out of 10 people, are willing to talk about spiritual things. You see, knowing about your neighbors is critical to our first objective together, to reviving evangelism. So let's review where we've come from so far. It starts with having the belief that people matter, that eternity matters, and that this life matters. And because of that, we need to share the love of God with those biblical beliefs in place. We discovered that we need now a new narrative that includes storytelling, a new language about evangelism with words like hospitality and friendship and conversation. And that today brings us to our third, behaviors. If we're going to revive evangelism, we must have the right practices, the right action, the right behaviors. And the good news is the Barna Research Group, they followed up with their neighbors who said that they would talk to a friend about faith, and they asked them some other questions. And the follow-up question was this: what would you value in a person with whom you talk about spiritual matters with? In other words, what behaviors are you looking for? And our friends, our neighbors, they gave us some great coaching in their responses. So today I want to go through the top three behaviors that they're looking for in order. So number one, this is what the unbelievers that we've come close to, this is what they want from us. Number one, they want us to listen without judgment. That's what they're looking for. They want us to listen without judgment. And this confirms exactly what we've been learning about in the blessed practices. Listening is one of the purest acts of love. And what our neighbors want is for us to lean in, to get close and to listen. Right? We say it to our kids, you got two ears and one mouth. You should be listening twice as much as you're talking. And they want someone who assumes the best of them. So listening now is more important than ever. Look at our society. Just try getting an appointment with a therapist. Like you'll have to wait weeks, even months, because people are not doing well emotionally and they need to feel heard. One therapist, they were saying that most people just need one good friend. If they had one friend who listened, that would make a huge difference in their life. And the sad truth is, two out of three people who were surveyed, they said they had no one in their life who would listen to them without judgment. Two out of three people had no one who would listen. And as I reflect on many of my attempts to share the good news, the focus when I shared the gospel was always about what would I say. Like I did most of the talking, and if I did ask a question, it wasn't so I could listen. It was so I could kind of maneuver the conversation, and it would give me a chance to respond with a clever answer. My intentions were good, but in retrospect, I often did way too much talking, and I prejudged what other people needed. Overall, the research offers us this encouraging news. Listening without judgment makes a huge difference. And that's something that all of us are capable of doing. It really is, to put aside our preferences, our biases, and just hear their story. So that's the first one. And second, they want us to allow them to draw their own conclusions. See, first we listen without judgment, and then we allow them to make their own decision. See, your friends and neighbors, they're not projects, they're people. And they're looking for someone who won't force a conclusion on them, but will actually trust them to have their own spiritual journey. And when I think about my failed attempts, I think my heart was in a good place. I want these people to know Jesus. But my strategies, they were brutal. I mean, if I was approaching a stranger on the street or using the canned approach to the gospel with a friend, I knew the outcome that I wanted. I wanted them to say yes to Jesus no matter what. It was a good intention, but poor tactics. And if we really think about it, if we deep down believe God is who he says he is, both God and our friends want us to get out of the way. If the gospel is true, and I've bet my life on it, if the gospel is true and someone is sincerely searching for that truth, it will prove to be true. And we need to trust God, right? Like, my hand up first. We need to trust God to do his part. And then trust those around us to journey just like I did, just like we did. If we know Jesus, if we have that kind of faith, we know God is real, so we can know that other people who are looking for real faith will find Jesus when we share the stories. Our friends want us to love, to listen, to interact with them, but let God draw them in. When we look at Jesus, he didn't coerce or trick people into saying yes or repeating the sinner's prayer or lifting their hand. Just come to church so you can lift your hand. He trusted them. He loved them. So be a friend to your neighbor and trust God to do the rest. Here's the third quality that your neighbors are looking for in a friend with whom they talk about spiritual matters. So after you listen to them without judgment, and once you've given them space to come to their own conclusions, it's then and only then that they're interested in us confidently sharing our own perspective. They want to know our stories and hear our experiences. But they also want to know it's real. It's genuine. And that we're coming from a place of confident conviction. I call it paying the relational rent. Right? In our house, we talk about kudos. You have to have enough kudos to spend. And they're not cooties, kudos. Here's how it goes. Once you have invested enough in the relationship by listening to them and by loving them, no matter what they ultimately decide, you now have a permanent place in their life, and you'll be able to speak with confidence about the difference the love of God and the life of Jesus has made in you. And here's the thing. If I had to summarize what the research and my own experience tells me and what the behaviors our neighbors are looking for from us, I think I can do it in one word. I know. Are you ready? Here's the one word. Friend. Yeah, just friend. And I think the research confirms what God already wrote. I mean, what else do you call someone who listens to you without judgment, offers wise counsel, but allows you to make your own decision and will love you no matter what? That's a friend. People are looking for you. The world is looking for you to be their friend. It's that simple and also that challenging. They're looking for a friend who will live the good news, to be the good news and share that good news in that order. Live it, be it, share it. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus did. Do you know Jesus' nickname? Do you remember from the Bible? All the Pharisees called him it. Do you remember his name? It was Friend. Jesus' nickname was Friend. And more specifically, it was Friend of Sinners. Who gave Jesus that nickname? It was the religious leaders who watched how he lived. And they didn't like it. But apparently Jesus liked this nickname so much that he kept it. And it was easy for Friends of Sinners to stick because everywhere Jesus went, He befriended people, and he was a blessing to them. His entire life was kind of this rhythm of befriending and blessing, befriending and blessing. Jesus blessed every person that he encountered. And the behaviors that Jesus lived out, though where the blessed practices, these five simple everyday ways to share God's love that we've been learning about. So learning these practices are our second objective. You can find them on your bulletin. I wrote them down so you can stick them to your fridge like Kathy says every week, and we can remember what God is calling us to. So let's review them for you. The first one is B. It's an acronym, BLESS. B, begin with prayer. We've challenged you to pray for four people. I hope you've written that list. It's in your journal or on your phone. That's where mine is. We've got a drawer in our house with a map of our neighborhood, and we've written the names down of the people we're praying for. We've challenged you to pray for four people, right where you live, right where you work, in the places that you play. And the second one is L, listen. Now we'll get two up. L, listen. Your first job is just to listen to them, to start that conversation and hear their story, to know where they're at, who they are. And the third one, this is my favorite. This is Bruce's favorite because he tells me all the time, is E, eat. You just eat together. This is where you do what friends do. You go out for coffee. Tim and I yesterday, we went out for a Coke. Something that simple. You just eat together. You go out and have coffee or share a meal, eat breakfast, invite them over with the family. The thing that you already have to do every day, you bring someone along. And then the first S is serve. Serve. The last S is share, or his story. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and share your story. So today, let's talk about this fourth practice, about the share, or about the serve. Get them in the right order, it'll be less confusing. Because here's what happens when you pray for someone and you listen to someone and then you share a meal, get into that intimate conversation with someone. They will tell you how to serve them. Without doubt, it happens every single time. They let you know how they need to be served. You'll get to know their hurts, their pains and their struggles, both the big ones and the small ones. And they will tell you how to serve them. Jesus, he provides us a great example of what serving looks like in his interaction with the deaf man in Mark 7. It says this, Mark 7, verse 32. They brought him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. They begged him to lay his hands on him. That being Jesus, took him aside from the multitude privately and put his finger into his ear, and he spat and touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Be open," and immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was released, and he spoke clearly. He again, being Jesus, commanded them that they should tell no one, like that ever works. But then the more he commanded him, so much more widely they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure. Did you hear that story from Mark 7? See, this story offers us three specific lessons about serving others. The first lesson relates to proximity. Remember last summer when we learned about this? You have to be close to the people that you love. Otherwise, it's difficult. And notice whom Jesus served. In verse 32, he says, they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. See, the people Jesus served were always those in front of him. Always those who are near him, those in close proximity. See, your mission, our mission, my mission lies wherever my feet take me, wherever we go. Our mission is wherever that is. And we start where we live, where we work, where we play, and where we hang out in our neighborhoods. Those are the people that we serve. Well, the next quality I want you to notice is how Jesus serves the man personally. Right? Verse 33 tells us that Jesus took him aside from the multitude, privately, away from the attention of the crowd. And this is my favorite part of the story, because when you really think about it, Jesus realized this man's challenge. Right? He was deaf and had an impediment with his speech. And in that challenge, he refused to make a spectacle of his condition. He served the man with dignity in a way that he showed that he understood his needs beyond the obvious one. Yes, we can heal him. That's what Jesus does. But more than that, he treated him with respect, took him aside and said, You need to practice what I'm giving you, but not in front of a crowd where it's embarrassing. Now, lastly, Jesus served powerfully. Mark writes, looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, "Be opened," and immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was released. He spoke clearly. Do you realize what was just written there? Because most of us don't. See, when Jesus served, he accessed God's power. And to me, this is a game changer, especially when we serve. We have access to that same power. Like the very same one. We can walk up to the deaf person with a speech impediment and we can spit on their tongue and stick our fingers in their ears just like Jesus did, and we can say to them, hear. Speak clearly. Be healed. See, when you think about serving, we often think of doing good deeds, serving at the food bank, giving the food poor, going on Wednesday nights to help the homeless people who are living in their tent shelters and give them some dignity while they're strung out on their drugs. We think about even shoveling the neighbor's driveway because they're frail and they can't do it, or maybe they're just gone for a day. And we think of things like maybe even the greatest of adopting a child into your family. What great servanthood. You have the power of God available to you, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Don't believe me? Maybe you'll believe Jesus. John 14:2, he tells his followers this. That's you and me, right? We're following Jesus. He says this, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing." Right? If you believe in God, you can stick your fingers in his ears and tell him to hear, and he will. You have that same power. Jesus just said it. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. And then Jesus even gets bigger, and he says this, "You will even do greater things than these." That's pretty big. Right? So let me remind you, then when you're serving people, Elisa does this all the time, when you're serving people, she's standing in the food bank lineup saying, "Do you want bread or do you want cereal today?" And someone obviously has a need, and she starts that conversation, and then she lays her hands on them and prays for them. When you're serving people, if they're sick, pray and ask God to heal them. If they have an addiction, pray and ask God. Stop right there and say, "I want to pray for you. God, you heal them right now because I know you can." If there's a relationship that's hopeless, then pray for God to reconcile them. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He does. You have that powerful access to God because he wants to bless the world through you. And experiencing the power of God will revive evangelism for both us, the believers, and the non-believers. So today we're going to talk about it. We're going to practice it amongst each other. We're going to share what God has given us with the people in our little small groups. And as we grow, this is what I want you to remember. Jesus' example. That we would listen to people without judgment. That we would allow them to come to their own conclusions. And that we would get out of the way. Trust that God will do what he says he'll do after we share his story. So, blessed practice. Are you doing them? Please do. Make it a habit. Make it one of your spiritual disciplines, like brushing your teeth and praying in the morning, singing praises to God in the shower, and praying for those people around you, listening to them, eating with them, serving them, and sharing God's story. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for this book that you inspired Dave Ferguson to write. What simple steps. We read in the Bible, Jesus, friend of sinners. We see him as the example. And everything he did, he says, go and do the same. It will change the world. Go and bless those around you. So thank you for that example of who you are when you came here. And then thank you for the book, for the guy that wrote it to share with us some 5 easy steps to make it palatable for us. So God, as we sit here and we pray for those 4 people on our list, God, would you allow us to bless them? Bless them with a listening ear. Bless them with everyday prayers. Bless them with a meal. Come, I want to be your friend. Let's share a meal together. And God, bless them as we serve them. Well, whatever is going on in their life. And for any of this to work, Jesus, we know this. We know it in our heads, but we don't know it enough, often enough to practice it. God, would you work through us? Would you give us the boldness to lay our hands on them and say, be healed. In Jesus' name. Be healed of all your emotional pain. Be healed of your anxiety. Be healed of your sickness. Be healed from your sinful nature. That you would become part of the family of God. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us in the same way that it worked through Jesus, so we can see the great and wonderful miracle worker in our community. So, one more time, God, thank you for who you are, for calling us, for sending us out. Spur us on in that responsibility. Cross our paths with the people we're praying for. And grow this church family, because we want more people to grow and learn and know who you are. And you've done that through this group, and you will do it again. In your name, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to me. Evangelism is what we're called to, so that's why I speak with passion about it. We're going to break into our groups one more time, and I wanted to talk about this, because sometimes it's hard to connect things from our head to our action, to our heart, right? That drawing there where it started with beliefs and it went to narrative, now it's gone to behaviors. So these small groups are really a place for us to take what we know and believe and turn it into a behavior. So here's a question. How can serving our neighbors endear them to us and vice versa? And in what ways have you been served by your neighbors or maybe someone that led you to Christ? And what could you do to begin serving the ones around you? So go for it right now. And as you close, pray for each other. Pray for the people on your list. Pray for those friendships that will be blossoming over this summer.